This is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, sponsored by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I am thrilled to be talking art with Madeline Parkton, an up-and-coming visual artist whose work is going to be displayed in the Second Avenue Window Gallery at our very own Quad City Arts. Madeline, welcome to Talking Art.
Thank you so much for having me here. This is so cool. It's just, I love what you guys do.
Well, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to have you here. Now, a little backstory. We first met because you participated in the Quad City Arts Metro Arts Program.
I did a couple years, actually, didn't I?
You did. Yeah, yes. You did. I was looking up, and you did the first year that you were in it, you did our improv program, mm-hmm. and then you did our film program.
The film program, yes.
And now you're a visual artist, so you have you're versatile.
Versatile. Yeah. Multimedia. For a long time, I kind of found that definition with multimedia because people think physical media.
Right.
But they don't think like, okay, well, I also really love to use my voice. I love singing. And I really love to use like my body. I love dancing. So that like we had talked about, you know, it just became this thing I can create physically with these emotions that I feel internally.
Yeah. Well, I love that idea of that because I've never thought of it that way of like, you know, I think of someone as a multimedia artist and I'm like, oh, they're painting and they put some paper in there and a found object and, you know,
It can be conceptual, yeah.
Yeah, but I love that idea of, you know, so often I think performing arts and visual arts, other than like maybe like set design and lighting, collaborating, but they live in such separate worlds. Mm. So I love that idea of you as an artist, as you are a multimedia artist in and of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of inspires you? Let's go back. Where did it start?
So I actually watched a lot of like old heads in my community just being top-notch weirdos.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I watched my dad make these little murals for his noise out of, like, Barbie dolls and computer parts. And just having that in front of me and having all of these walks of life, all of these different creations, kind of... Do you know there's this little... tradition with the babies where they choose like the stethoscope, the money.
Oh,
that's
what it felt like. Sure.
That is exactly what it felt like. I'm like, okay, I can dance, I can paint, I can sing. but I feel like it started when I did dance.
Yeah.
I feel like it started just, I was really shy. Mm-hmm. I was the kind of little kid that hit on my mom's skirt. Literally, she was one of those little hippie ladies with the big, long, long hippie skirts. I loved it. But they put me in dance because I just was not very social.
Sure.
And I was very an at-home kid. And that's why, my grandma bought me so many art supplies.
Yeah.
And... you know, I went to dance for, like, 12-plus years, and going through high school, I, like, struggled a little bit in high school, and then excelled in my art classes, because I applied myself there.
Yeah.
So I found my passion, and I found, like, if I really apply myself, and I really put this fire right underneath myself, and I hound it, I can actually make, like... I think really cool things. So, you know, I think a lot of people get stuck nowadays in the, like, doom scrolling culture.
Sure.
Where they just kind of settle. They don't feel like they can do much. They don't have the desire. So, yeah. And I still struggle with that. I still struggle with feeling like, I don't want to today.
Right.
I don't want to this week. But ultimately... creating is so important. It's so important. I don't want to see that lost in this world. So I make myself do it.
Yeah. Well, it is an active process. Like, you don't create accidentally.
Mm-mm. And you really don't.
You have to be intentional about it, and you have to put forth the effort into it. You know, it's interesting to me to know that your background is dance, because, like, I remember specifically in the Metro Arts Improv group, like, you were such a physical improviser.
I was.
You know, you were very much like the goblin. So silly. But, you know, you have an attuneness to your movement.
Yeah.
You know, that the fact that you have a dance background really makes sense to me. And you also saw it, like, in your film work, you know, there was, like, that film you guys did, because you were involved with the clown one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That actually is my piece de resistance. I still have a little flash drive. I loved being able to experience that and express myself in that way, just because, like, I was a little troubled teen. So getting to have that positivity, and the fact that that program gives the positivity to, like, teens of all of this broad spectrum who need it in these different ways is so important.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Well, and that's what I love. That's one of the things I love so much about that program. And we just recently opened our applications for this year, which I'm very excited about, and we're getting our projects lined up. But is seeing so many of the apprentices that come in, and you'll see them, like, that first year, and they're very shy and quiet and aren't sure of where they fit in. And then by the end of the 5 weeks, like,
a whole different person.
Whole different person. And then you see that in the 5 weeks, and then you track that over 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the program, and they're, like, senior apprentices and taking on leadership roles, and it's so wonderful to see how that program allows people to find their voice and to blossom.
You know, I'm actually really really close still with the lead apprentice that was for our first year when I was in improv, Teddy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love that. I love that kind of connection for people. I love that for me. I don't care if it's self-centered. I love that for me.
Right. No, it's great. And then, you know, that has always been one of the goals of that program, is you get these, for lack of a better word, kids from all these different schools and areas around the Quad Cities, and then put them together based on this mutual interest group of improv or film or painting or whatever it is, and friendships are made, and art is made.
And passion is made.
Yeah.
You know, they find that desire for it, and I hope so bad that other, and again, for lack of a better word, kids would run with that.
Yeah.
And even so, I still feel like a kid. I still feel like I have so many more years to put under my belt, so many more experiences to have, you know. This is only my second gallery.
Yeah.
And I was, like, just so excited after Ross Talks, which I love Ben. You've done an interview with Ben.
Yes, I have.
I love. He's been in my life since I was, like, a little pea.
I read that. You grew up, like, on the floors of Ross Talks.
Yes, essentially. Essentially. And it was such a safe space and such a beautiful place to grow in. I love Ben.
Well, so tell me about that show and how, like, let's kind of move into the visual arts place.
You've got our
exhibit,
lifetime.
And you had your first exhibit.
Yes, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. With that, it was actually many years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 2 years beforehand, it was kind of a concept, you know, can I have this up on the walls?
Right.
You know, because I doubt myself a lot as an artist, though. That's something I don't think is talked about enough, is self-doubt as an artist.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when I was growing up, it's, oh, maybe my art friends are better than me in this aspect. Maybe they're ahead of me in this aspect. I completely stopped that kind of thought process when I started in Metro because I was on a team.
Yeah.
And that made me able to create these big galleries. So when I first started, it was a lot of self-doubt. Yeah. It was a lot of, you know, this is a feat in front of me. But as soon as I started with my first little canvas,
yeah,
and I started in my little flow state, because I think people will think of art like this huge process.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very much an act of love and an act of labor, but it's just line by line for me.
Yeah.
It's little swirls by swirls. That's why, yeah, I love the ghosts, because it's very, I like tedious works.
Yeah.
I really like that. So when I'm sitting there and I'm just drawing every little circle for the eyes and putting my little details into it, it's very cathartic. It's very cathartic. And so I feel like there just needs to be more of that. There needs to be more acknowledgement for that doubt, that it's okay to have it, that you need to let it pass, that you need to let it pass to grow as an artist. I would have grown so much faster if I just stopped doubting myself.
Well, I feel there is so much. There's kind of that. So often it's very easy to get in that place as an artist. And I, you know, speak mostly from an actor side of things, of like, I'm not good enough. I don't belong in this room.
Exactly.
I'm the faker here. I'm going to get found out that I'm not actually that good. And no one else is thinking that. They're thinking, like, I hired you for the job because I like what you do.
Exactly. Exactly. That feels really good to hear. And even now, that's giving me, like, less anxiety. Like, it's giving me, like, okay, I can relax a little bit more in this chair.
Well, like you said, people... And it's not always that I don't think people talk about it, but they don't it's not talked about in a public way.
That's what I think I'm trying to emulate more.
And that conversation of like...
It just doesn't need to be taboo.
Right.
You know? It's okay to feel like I am not where I want to be, but I am getting there minute by minute. I am getting there every time I put my pen to the paper, my brush to the canvas.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know for me, this is something like, you know, going back to that idea of your versatility, and like, I admire that you are willing to put yourself out there in so many ways, because I know kind of in that same vein, and like, you know, my main art is acting and theater and film, but like, I like to paint and I like to do photography, and those things, like, I am not comfortable putting... Photography, I'll maybe put out in the world. Like, painting, I do it just for me. Because I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But there is that sense, as an artist, of like, if I'm going to do something, it's got to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know? And that is the death of creativity.
When we think
something has to be perfect. Or like, if you're writing, and you get there and like, are self-editing and having that perfectionism while you're writing rather than just letting it happen.
Just let it out.
Yeah.
Just, I think what I try to say when people think that it's this laborious thing is it's this contraction. It has to be perfect. Oh, it has to. But no, just let it out. Just relax. Let it flow. That's kind of what I have to do. I have to get into this flow state.
Yeah.
You know, I have these long nights. I genuinely pull, like, all-nighters with it sometimes.
Sure.
Just because I get into, like, these flows. He knows it. I had this little, like, final countdown last 3 days before my gallery for Ross Talks.
Yeah.
And he was there right next to me, my spouse, just hammering D-rings onto the paintings. He's probably the my piece de resistance in the fact that, like, I'm not the handyman. I'm the painter. I'm the artist.
Well, let's talk about your art. You know, you describe it as like pop art maximalism.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you referred to the Ghost. Your show at Roz Talks was called Ghosties.
I love Ghosties. They've actually had a lot of different names, like Little Nubbies, just mm-hmm. Ghosts. They didn't have a name for a long time. I just really like the concept. I started just doodling them. Like it says in my artist statement, I believe, that I just doodled them at school. Yeah. And it became this thing where, okay, I went home, I wanted to put it on a canvas. Okay, I put it on 2-3 more canvases. Yeah. And then it became more intricate. And then I started painting, you know, different kinds of patterns, like eyes. And it's a melodic thing for me.
Sure.
And I think that's almost kind of where music and dance comes in, where I'll listen to these pieces of media while I'm creating.
Yeah.
And it'll kind of evoke that emotion mm-hmm. for me. So if I'm painting this piece that makes me feel grief, this piece that makes me feel angry, it makes me feel just tense and upset, then I'll put on some like angry metal and I'll splash some paint against the canvas.
Well, then I kind of wanted to touch on that because there's one of your pieces that was in the Rostocks, the Rostocks show, where you just had the word brute in there.
That's my dog.
Okay, well, because I know there are other aspects of your life where the idea of brute or brutal have been involved. Oh,
yes, that's exactly. He was actually the most punk metal dog you'll ever meet. I have a tattoo. It says Scum Pup. It's in like all kinds of metal text.
That's hilarious.
But that's kind of where it comes in, where, you know, and he is since passed and he rests in peace. But,
yeah.
You know, I have his tattoo and I have that piece. I still it's hanging in my childhood home. And it can invoke grief and anger and brutality and just visually. I have the big eye in that piece because he had lost his sight really early on, actually, just because he was a schnauzer, cataracts, it gets to him. And his little paw print within my hand because he was with me since I was like 2, like freshly 2, until I was 19. And he lived to be like 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no one told him he was supposed to only be like 13, 14.
Right.
So when it comes to art like that, it helps me cope a lot.
Yeah.
I struggle, you know, with a lot of mental health issues, which is something I also feel shouldn't be taboo. But, you know, another piece, you have fallen and you will fall.
Yes.
So.
And that's with all the eyes. All the eyes. The tree.
It's because I struggle a lot with my self-perception and then outward perception as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how people are going to look at me.
Right.
How people from my past might look at me now. And, you know, my art helps me cope with that. You know, just, I am who I am now, you know? So I feel like if more people just leaned into that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to doubt myself. I can just do this cool thing. I can just be this cool person, man. It just sucks. I have to be cool or whatever.
I think you're cool. But there is a freedom, I think, to your work.
Yeah.
You know, which hearing you talk about it, and I think can be a very hard place for an artist to get to, where they allow themselves to be free in that way. And I think your work has that in it. Like, I think about the piece that's the wooden skull.
I'm so... The death rattles.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you bring that piece up.
I love it.
So glad. Because I found that at Goodwill. I found that just slab of wood.
Yeah.
It got painted white. It got some hardware. And it got its ghosties.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it because just the dimensions of it. I like the concept of these little ghosties all going together to form that, like, the skeleton.
Yeah.
that's something I'm kind of you may be seeing in the gallery here or there. just more open concepts.
Yeah.
I'm really, really excited. I actually have a piece inspired by my cat, Boog. Just with his resemblance. We're going to see some 3D sculpture to that as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm really excited. I have some really cool ideas coming out. I'm so excited.
Well, we are thrilled to have it out there. For those people that don't know, Quad City Arts, we have a window. We have multiple galleries, but we have a gallery kind of in the building. Then we have a window gallery right on 2nd Avenue that people can see. Then we also have our gallery out at the airport. But the window gallery is where we kind of feature up-and-coming artists that we're excited about.
And I'm so just as excited to be
there. I am thrilled
to
see your work in there.
I'm giddy. Nothing can take away my whimsy. I hold on to that with a grip.
Yeah.
My nails are dug into it.
Well, I love that you use that word. I saw some... I've been kind of obsessed with threads lately.
Yeah.
And it's... All the other social medias have kind of fallen away. And I'm like, this is just like a... Mm-hmm. A place where I don't feel so dirty in the social media
world. You don't have to feel any type of way. I'm a little Facebook mom.
But, like, there was someone talking about just who had made just, like, a glass egg. Like a fried egg. And everyone was just, like, commenting on it and talking about, like, whimsical pieces they have in their life that are just, like, little pieces of art. That
it just
give
sparks
them joy. Yeah,
exactly.
And I think that's so that can be very easy to forget when we take ourselves too seriously as artists. That sometimes people just want something that sparks some joy.
That's all I want. That's
and
why
makes
I do.
Your day a little happier. And you can see a fried glass egg or death rattles or Booger the cat.
I know. Exactly, you little booger.
Yeah, that, you know, and I think your work has a lot of that joy in it. With the color choices you use, with the shape of your ghosties, they reminded me a little bit, I don't know if generationally this may not catch, but the Gleeping Gloop from Space Ghost.
Oh my gosh.
The old Hanna-Barbera, the two little, like,
you're throwing Hanna-Barbera at me not a G.
But yeah, like, I saw the ghosties and I was like, oh my gosh, they remind me of these guys a little bit. I had
he
to look up
it.
Their name because I
this
didn't remember
gets
their
it.
Name.
This guy gets it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I also think of Morph from Adventure Island.
I don't know Adventure Island.
Is that what it is? It is. It's Adventure Island. We watched, it's a Disney movie.
Oh, okay.
Don't love Disney, but I love Adventure Island.
Something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
In the, what else? What else do you have? You've got this show coming up in the gallery. Anything else you are interested
That's
in exploring
actually,
or?
Actually, kind of to be determined. That's what I thrive on. That's what I thrive on just as a person and as an artist is keeping all of my doors open 100% of the time. Having that fresh air and that freedom, like you say. Because, like, I think so many people get caught up in, I need to have this achieved now, and I need to go and do this day and that this day. And that's just not me.
Yeah.
I go to work, I go home, I paint, and if I get to have a gallery, if it falls in my lap, I'm so thrilled. But I think that's kind of how the best artists are made. You know, I mean, think about Keith Haring.
Yeah.
He just started by being a graffiti artist.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not here to out myself or anything, but I might have dabbled here and there. So...
I mean, it's yeah. Maybe the most punk rock of...
So that I think that's kind of where it all comes back to for me is just create to create.
Yeah.
Don't do it for any other reason. Don't do it for money, for being known, for anything. Just because I paint because I like to paint. I danced because I like to dance. I don't dance anymore just because I put in too many hours and my back hurts a little bit.
Sure.
So it's not something I necessarily can do anymore. But, you know, that love has gone straight into my heart. It's all about passion. That's what I will preach. It's all about passion. You have to love something and go and pursue that every day. You have to have a reason to get out of bed. And if it's art, great. If you want to go, you know, volunteer and pet some cats and dogs, great. If you want to go dance, great. But it has to be something. Yeah. You have to have something. If it's a person, great. If it's not, better.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the show at the Second Avenue Gallery. You can check out quadcityarts.com to find out more about Madeline's show. And thanks for joining me on Talking Art today.
Thank you again for having me. It's been really great.
Absolutely.
Such a great experience.